This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is your brother Sajid. Alhamdulillah, I'm here with Sheikh Tahir White. And it is the best day of the week, Friday, Yom al-Jum'ah. And we're here in Medina heading to Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, many pilgrims from all over the world, they come and they visit this city. And not all of them speak the Arabic language. So, mashallah, Sheikh Tahir, he was honored with the task of translating the Jummah khutbah from Arabic to English so that all of those pilgrims who don't speak Arabic, they may benefit from the khutbah. So we're on our way right now. And alhamdulillah, the Sheikh, he was kind enough to allow us to tag along today. So stay tuned, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulih al-Kareem. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. So we're walking to the right masjid right now. You might want to watch your steps here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk to the masjid. The dua that he used to make is Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura wa fi lisani nura wa ja'al fi sam'i nura wa ja'al fi basari nura wa ja'al min khalfi nura wa min amami nura wa ja'al min fawqi nura wa min tahti nura Allahumma a'tini nura, which loosely translates to mean, oh Allah, so nur, as you know, is light, right? Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. Oh Allah, put light in my heart. And light, as we know, illuminates the path. So when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for light, it's actually like asking Him for knowledge, making the path clear to you. And this is something that's very important that we don't neglect. Yani that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always give us knowledge, because our deen is based on ilm, and it's not just based on how you feel, it's based on the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge of what He wants from us. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call that tawheed or aqeedah. Knowledge of what He wants from us, yani that is what He has required us to do, is fiqh. And that's why fiqh and aqeedah are the main aspects of our religion that we need to learn. Tayyib. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma ja'al fi qalbi nura. Oh Allah, put in my heart light, put in my tongue light, yani make me speak with knowledge. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for light, for your heart, your tongue, your sight, your hearing. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Him to put the light in front of you, from behind you, from above you, from below you. Oh Allah, give me light. So that's the basic meaning of this dua without an extensive explanation. Also, another thing to keep in mind, when you're walking to the masjid, and these are things that, many of the ulama have encouraged us to concentrate on, so that we can recognize the supreme bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that every single step you take to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives you a reward for that. He gives you a hasana for every single step that you take to the masjid. And a bad deed that you have done is removed. And this is why some of the Salaf, when they would walk to the masjid, they would say taqarub al-khutat, yani they would walk like this, very with the steps very short instead of making longer steps. That was their understanding, yani those particular ones that did that. Even though the majority of the scholars have understood that what this means, yani, is the distance to the masjid. So on average, what it would take for an average person to walk to the masjid, then for that many steps, if it takes you 100 steps to get to the masjid, which for most people is probably going to take longer than that, but then you would get 100 rewards, and 100, evil deeds or bad deeds that you have done will be removed, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So we're getting close to the masjid now. Bi'idhnillah, we're going to talk a little bit more about the translation of the khutbah, inshallah, once we get there. Bi'idhnillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. To proceed, servants of Allah, Fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and don't die except in a state of Islam. Allah has made the earth a haven and an abode, and has subjected the sun, the moon, the night and the day, and all that is on earth to man.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa liyus salihin, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu ba'athahu Allahu rahmatan lil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik wa an'im ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The translation project is actually called Mashru' Khadim al-Haramain al-Sharifain, the initiative of the custodian of the two holy mosques for the translation of the khutbah at both the Prophet's Masjid and the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Began in 2014. It was March of 2014 when it started here in Medina. Initially, the first week that it began, it with two languages. It started with the Indonesian language, which they call Malawi, and it started with Urdu. So those two languages went live first. The next week, they added English. The week after that, they added the French. And for years, for the first 2 years or so, the first year and a half at least, there were those four languages. So how it started was Sheikh Abdurrahman Sudais, the Imam of the Haram and the Ra'is, the President of the Affairs of the Two Holy Mosques, he came to Medina to do the inauguration of this particular initiative. And the point behind it was that at least 50%, probably more than 50% of the people who are coming to the two holy masjids, the two sacred masjids, are not Arabs, and they don't understand the Arabic language. I mean, a lot of the workers in both of the cities tend to be from the Indian subcontinent. A lot of them do not know Arabic. You have a large number of pilgrims who are coming from Indonesia, from Turkey, from all over the world. They don't know Arabic. They don't speak Arabic. And the point of the khutbah is to get a message across. It's not just that somebody goes and listens to someone talk. There's a message that is supposed to be get across to the people. And so Sheikh Abdurrahman Sudais pushed really hard for this initiative to happen so that we would be able to translate or interpret, actually is the proper word, interpret the khutbah simultaneously. So while the imam is talking, we're listening to the khutbah. We have our headphones on. We're listening to the khutbah. And we are interpreting simultaneously to the best of our ability what he is saying and trying to get that message across to the people. And it is a great initiative because, for so long, people would just come to Al-Masjid Al-Haram and Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi, the Prophet's Masjid here in Medina, and they would just sit during the khutbah and would not be able to understand anything that was going on. With this initiative, all of that changed. Alhamdulillah. Now, initially, you had to be within the vicinity of the Prophet's Masjid to hear it. It was only on radio frequency 105.5 FM, and that was it. And it was only within, they had a satellite that would allow you to hear it within the vicinity of the Haram. Perhaps in the hotels, you could listen to it. After that, they expanded it to the point that you could hear it within about a 10-mile radius or something like that, or maybe a little further than that. But you had to be within Medina. Now you can actually access the khutbah even in America. You just go online, haramainlive.org. You pick the language that you want, and you can listen to the khutbah live. So again, this started in 2014 with those four languages, and it went on like that for about a year and a half, 2 years. Some of the initial concerns that were raised by some of the people involved was, can we even translate the khutbah while the imam is talking? As we know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited us from talking while the imam is talking. He even mentioned that for someone who talks while the imam is speaking during the khutbah, then he loses the reward of his Jum'ah, of attending the Jum'ah prayer. Doesn't mean you have to make it over, but it means that you've lost the reward. So some brothers were actually afraid that we may be falling into that prohibition of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And they raised that with Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sudais, who had informed us that he spoke directly with the Mufti Abdulaziz al-Sheikh Hafidhullah about the issue, and he gave the fatwa of permissibility, as well as the fact that this issue was brought up to the Lajna Daima of the Permanent Committee of Major Scholars here in Saudi Arabia, back when Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the president of that body, or was the head of that body. It was raised by, I believe it was from a masjid in France, but I think there were some other Western countries as well. They explained that during the khutbah, the imam speaks Arabic, and that they have a certain place in the masjid, apparently along the wall, where they have plugs for headphones, and that people who do not understand Arabic, their original French speakers or wherever the country was, I believe it was France again, that they could put on those headphones and listen, and that the translator was sitting in a different room listening to the khutbah and then interpreting simultaneously. And so the Lajna Daima, the Permanent Committee of Scholars, explained that this is permissible because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he talked about that prohibition, there are also exceptions to that rule. So we know that there was a man who came into the masjid when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving a khutbah, and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, the plants have died, the people are thirsty," so on and so forth. He was talking about the drought that had come to them. "Oh Messenger of Allah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain upon us." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped in the middle of his khutbah and made dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down rain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also saw another man who came into the masjid and he sat down. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh fulan, did you pray two rakats?" This is in the middle of his khutbah. The person answered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So not all speech is forbidden. Speech that is for the maslaha of the khutbah, that is, it is in the benefit of the khutbah itself, is permitted. This is why some of the scholars, for example, say that if the imam makes a mistake in an ayah, or he forgets the ayah and he asks someone what the ayah is, that the person can say what the ayah is and it doesn't reflect negatively or have a negative impact on his reward for Jum'ah. So the point is that there were fatawa from the scholars which clarified the permissibility of doing the simultaneous interpretation. So again, this went on for about a year and a half, 2 years. Then two more languages were added. The language of Hausa, West African language, and Turkish were added. So that brought the total up to 6 languages. And then recently, within the last 8 months or 10 months or so, they added Persian. So now we have 7 languages, walhamdulillah, that people can listen to during the khutbah. They can listen to the interpretation of the khutbah in these 7 languages all around the world, just by going to haramainlive.org and then picking the language that they want. If you're in Medina, you can also listen to these languages on, you can listen to these interpretations or translations on the radio. For English, it's 105.5 FM. So this was the initiative that was pushed by Sheikh Abdurrahman As-Sudais under the auspices of the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Salman, hafidhahullah ta'ala. So that's a very good question about one of the things I've benefited from this whole experience. I'll say that it really helped to remove a misconception, and that is that many people believe that the khutbah is written for the imam, that he is basically a puppet for a government agency or something like that, and he just goes up and says what they want him to say. That, I'm come to know, is not the truth at all. Each khatib, we've been translating from the beginning for 5 different khatibs. So there's Al-Hudayfi, Al-Thubayti, Salah Al-Budair, Abdul Mahsin Al-Qasim, and Sheikh Hussein Ali-Sheikh. From the very beginning, they recently added in the last 8 months or so, the end of 2016, they added the Sheikh Al-Bu'ayjan as well. So that makes 6. Each one of them has a very distinct style. If someone was to come bring a written khutbah to me and say, "Who gave this khutbah?" I could easily tell you which one of the 6 it was, because they each have a very distinct style and approach to the khutbah, which makes it clear that they are writing their own khutbahs and that they are not being censored. Interpreting is a very difficult skill, and I don't think that it's a skill that develops over time and with practice. And it's more important that a person start out, I believe, start out translating. That is, so from a technical perspective, translating is what is done in written form. Interpreting is what is done in oral form. A lot of times what you're going to have to do is start out by translating. So you're going to have to start out by writing down things. There are going to be keywords that come up. You'll have different ways that you translate them based on the context. But the difference between translation and interpretation, with translation, you get time to read over what is being said, and then you can go back and you translate, and then you can go back and fix it later and edit it and so on and so forth. With interpreting, you have to be ultra focused. You have to be able to block out everything else that's going on, whether it's technical difficulties, because sometimes a technician comes in while you're interpreting and he's fiddling with the equalizer or whatever. So you have to be able to block out everything and focus on what the khatib is saying. That's number one. Number two, it involves a degree of anticipation. So you have to try to figure out where he's going with this. A lot of times they're going to start out with khutbatul hajj. A lot of times things become repetitive, you know, after you've done this. So today, for example, was the 181st khutbah that we've translated. Well, alhamdulillah. So certain things, you know, get repetitive and you just get used to it. I mean, after 181 times, you know, you could imagine. No, that's including the Eid khutbah, because we've all, you know, we also translate the Eid khutbah. It's just one of those things that comes with time and understanding of the religion. And that's another thing. A lot of times the topics are very broad. They're not talking about the same thing every week. So you have to have the ability to kind of gather what is being said, really understand it, and do your best to articulate it in the language in which you're translating it to now.